Last Sunday, if you will remember, I attempted to bring to your attention through a message a focus of boundaries in relationships. Now, somewhere within that sermon, like on the first verse, the Lord decided that I was going to go another way with relationships. So I have learned my lesson, folks. When the Lord says turn, I'm turning. And it is very important for each of us to understand that God sees hearts that you and I don't see. God sees somewhere else in the world where our broadcasts go to. He sees those hearts and he knows what's going on with the individuals in their life. God knows that. And when God sees that, he leads his proclaimers of the truth to say what that individual needs. That should be for you and I a great blessing. That certainly lets me know that one soul means everything to God. He sent his son for one soul at a time. He sent his son, and in dying for each soul individually, then God looks with pride on his son and on those that his son leads to God the Father. Got to catch this. God knows who we are. And here's your fact. Does God know who's going to accept Jesus and who's not? Yes. We all need to get out of this foolish thought of, well, God doesn't know everything. Yes, he does. He knows everything. When I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, God knew the sin that I would commit afterwards. And he loved me anyway and saved me. I want you to think of that. So you see, God says you and I are important to his heart. It's just not that we're important as the greatest army that is ever known in heaven or anywhere. You see, I have a hard time. There's no end to the vastness of who God is. There's no end to it. I don't know what to call it other than God's place. And there's no beginning and there's no ending. Therefore, God tells you and I know all about you. I was there when you were being formed in your mother's womb. I was there watching. I knew the color of your eyes, the color of your skin. I knew that your heart would accept me. And yet I knew also of others who will reject me. But God says, my love for you is so great, I will give everyone the opportunity. But God says, I know my people, I know my flock. And when he looks to your life and he looks to my life, he knows that we're going to mess up. Our problem is not in the messing up. Our problem is who we call on to clean the mess up. When I said, Lord, have mercy on me. All I can hear that voice saying, have I ever, Larry? Every day you and I live by the grace of God. The mercy that he pours forth from his heart into your heart and my heart is a mercy that is beyond understanding. And actually, we don't understand it. But God says, I want you to understand there are boundaries in relationships. Larry, there is going to be a boundary in your relationship with a non-believer. God doesn't say, I want you to stay away from that non-believer. How are they going to hear about the Lord if a Christian doesn't stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord thy God? He says, but there's a boundary there. And that boundary is this. You represent me. Those who don't know my son represent the world. You are to proclaim, God says this. The world is watching to see if there's any difference. Is there any difference truly in your heart? Or do we have our heart in our mind, in our brain? Our heart that God speaks of is our eternal spirit. That's who you really are. And God says, I know you because I gave you that spirit. I know you. I knew when you were going to walk forward. I knew what was going to happen. I knew all of this. But don't cross over the boundary. That boundary simply means this. You and I are witnessing throughout the world the consequences of stepping from the truth of God to the lie of the world. You are seeing the slaughter of Christians, a relationship with God, Christianity. And these Christians are being killed because they say, I believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, that he came down to earth just for me. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and I am following him because he saved me. Now, that's the reason they're being slaughtered. Does that sound aggressive to anyone? That's the reason. And the greatest war against Christianity today focuses on there's too much love. You Christians are going to have to get it together. You really think that the God of heaven is going to come to earth in the form of a human being just for you? Well, let me show you something. And at that time, they are slaughtering men, women, and children. The children in front of their mothers, the mothers in front of the husband that's left, and then they slaughter them. In the name of what? Allah? In the name of what? Hatred, folks. I can tell you what it is. There are a lot of people that are not like us. God has told us there's nobody like you as an individual. But you and I have something different. We have the love of God. And not only that, our prophet and our Savior didn't die and stay dead. He conquered it. So you and I then, the boundary is that we bring the message to those who don't believe, but we bring it in a way of love. Let's look at this. Boundaries in relationships. First of all, we have to recognize God's individual boundary. That's the individual boundary with you, with me. See, the only boundary that is blocking me from the full power of Almighty God is a boundary that I've set. Christians say, yes, Lord, I believe, and yet we set a boundary, but I'm only going to follow this much. I can only go so far. And then you have other Christians that said, I love the Lord so much, I'll be ready and willing to die. And they're normally the first ones that'll turn and run, or they'll sell out to the world. I do not know my heart well enough to know what my heart will tell me to do when that time comes. But the frightening thing to America should be that I am saying when that time comes instead of if. In October of this year, the mega churches. Now, I've heard people want to condemn the larger mega churches. They serve the same Lord you and I do. In Vine Grove Baptist Church, those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, God just knows who's fit to be put in charge of the mega churches and who he wants in charge of the others. Our calling is dictated from God to us. Here's where I want you. This is what I want you to do. But in October of this year, a great defiance is going to be levied against the Internal Revenue Service of the United States of America. And those mega church pastors are grouping together at that Sunday. Each will preach about the sin of abortion, the sin of same-sex marriages, and they will stand on the moral ground of thus saith the Lord thy God and make the IRS arrest them or charge them so that it can come before the Supreme Court. Let me tell you something. It's already before the Supreme Court. His name is Jesus. God says, I'm watching. God doesn't tell me that I'm to run. He says, stand thou. Lord, what am I going to do just standing here? I tell you when the time comes. You try that one on. But you and I have a responsibility. I cannot cross over a boundary that God has set, but neither can the world cross over a boundary that God has set. In reverse, that's why we are to pray for our enemy. We've got young folks graduating school and college going into the service. Miss Lauren will be leaving today. Ready and willing to stand strong for the freedom of America. Do we back them with prayer? Troubled times have come. Troubled hearts have been with us continually. God's individual boundary above all else, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Remember, that's your spirit. For everything you do flows from it. Garbage in, garbage out, you know all that stuff. But think of it this way. Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, rests inside you, Christian. Therefore, understand that there are boundaries in your life that you are not to cross. And God says, pray for those in the world who cross over that boundary to you. Here's the second thing I want us to look at. God's boundary for relationship requires a balance of two elements. If you and I are going to have a relationship with each other, this is a requirement. Number one, the element is grace. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are to take the gift God has given us to use it for others. How many selfish people do you meet on a daily basis? Are you one? Are we to the selfish part of our existence in this world that it's all about me, 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 and nothing about everybody else? I do not have that right. I don't have that right to just think about me. I am charged by God to think about anybody and everybody but me. He'll take care of me. And he has. But will we give our life to him and entrust it? The only reason we will refuse to do that is that we are thinking about crossing over that boundary back to the world. That's a bad crossing. That's one of those you're getting out of boat, you're going to sink type of crossings. But God said, I've given you that grace. Have grace in your heart for one another. Element number two is the truth. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love. A lot of ways to tell somebody the truth. You know, Larry Pete, you're getting fat as a pig. Well, that's the truth. But I see that you've gained a little weight. You're looking fleshy. I don't know whether that's a good one or not. We probably ought to pick another one. Folks, each one of us just have to deal with life as it comes. But God says, deal with the truth. Instead of speaking the truth in love. You know, I will never confront someone and say, you honoring no good sinner, you're going to hell and grin about it. No, that's my sin if I would ever do that. Without Jesus Christ in your heart, you will never see heaven. That's a fact. That's love. And that happens to be the truth. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. Without grace and truth in any relationship, then you and I have witnessed God's boundary balance broken down. It's disrupted. If you do not have grace and truth in interaction, the boundary is broken down. The boundary. God says, my spirit will not strive with man forever. There will be a time when God withdraws. You and I need to pray that we're not alive when that happens. When God's grace is withdrawn, He has sent the word, He has sent the word, He sent preacher after preacher after preacher. Ministers have proclaimed, thus saith the Lord thy God. And then at one point, there would be silence. The silence will be so loud that we won't be able to sleep. The pain that'll be in our heart is the pain that comes from the deep of hell. And that pain will stop the heart, the spiritual being, from proclaiming grace and truth to the world. The power that we've allowed Satan to have in our life is proven through the boundary that no longer exists. The boundaries where it doesn't matter. If it feels good, I'll do it. Doesn't matter. I know what the Bible says, but I'm just not believing that part. It doesn't matter to me because I hate that individual. And yet we are the very ones that cried out, forgive me, Father, for I'm a sinner. I did not receive hate when I accepted Jesus. I received love. Those who receive hatred of the God there from the God they serve are expressing that hatred in their actions. The slaughter of innocent men, women, and children, whether they be Christian or any other, is pure hatred and bitterness. And God says, yes, I will stop it. But think of this. Once again, this world is our classroom right now. We haven't graduated yet. Graduation day for us is not with a cap and a gown. It's with the love of Christ. Do you know that Jesus knows your name well enough to call you by name as you enter His glory? Do you know that God says that the angels I'm sending to take you will know you? The image of Christ protecting us should be in our heart to such a depth that Satan is afraid to mess with it. Instead of allowing our temptations and our minds to pull us away, how about getting back to the spiritual heart that God gave us? There was a day that God would look down from heaven itself, and as He looked down, He would witness the most vile of anger in the heart of man. And He didn't just see such vileness as it walked on earth. He saw that violence directed against His Son from His birth. It was God that looked down, and God truly saw. God witnessed the heart as it hardened. And He witnessed His Son as He was cursed and beaten and hung on a cross. He listened to the cry of Jesus, His only begotten, as Jesus cried, my God, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? And you and I could have opened our eyes and we could have seen Jesus as he looked out on those who represented the world and understood why his father turned his back on him. And he said, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. That's love. That's love like the world doesn't understand, nor will they speak of. That's the love from above, the only type of love that God will give in the heart of man. We admit that we have it. That's not our question as Christians. We know we've received the grace and truth and the love from God. But do we share it with others is the question. If the love that God has given us in that boundary of our relationship with him, if it is so magnificent as we accepted it to be, why do we not tell the world about that love and yell it from the highest mountain that Jesus is Lord and always will be? He will not be bethroned by men or by spirit or by any evil that exists, because he's the Son of God. And God says this, I love you, I've given you my truth, and I'm watching to see what you do with it. Will you stand? Just stand there for me. There's something you and I don't understand about this. Even when I read the Word of God and see the truth of what he says, I still have a hard time remembering and understanding that when these Christians die for their faith, the scripture says they do it for a better resurrection. Interesting, isn't it? Will we die for our faith? We're offered the opportunity. Oh, look, if you will become Muslim, you will live. But if you profess Christianity, you will die and you will watch your children be tortured in front of you before we kill you. What will you do? You don't know. The only hope we have is knowing this. I have inside of me, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, grace and truth on my life. And I understand now what Paul truly meant. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now you think about this, Christians. Think about it very closely. When a person stands on the boundary line between heaven and hell, between good and evil, and their body is destroyed for standing for Jesus, who you think standing there with him? Do we not understand even today with all the stories that we have in God's holy word, with the truth of life, do we not understand that when people are taken who love the Lord, God is taking them because he loves them? Do we not understand that God is the only one who can see the evil that's ahead and so often will pull a child and take that child to be with him? He says that. He says you need to pay attention to my love, but we don't, because we stepped over the boundary and we've accepted the love of the world in our heart. And we do that because we say, well, I can understand the love of the world. I don't understand the love of God. Do you really want the love of the world that you understand? Or in your service to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, Do you not want His truth, the true love for eternity? The love in this brain is going to leave. Because when you die, this body is going back to the dust, brain included. But the real you, don't worry about it, you're not there. You're already. I want you to picture the truth and the love and the grace that God promises. And the picture of that is there's no army that can stand on that boundary line and go against God's child, because all they will see will be God's army right beside and all around. I remember Billy Graham telling about those events in a book he wrote years ago of angels, and saying, "Didn't you see? We didn't bother you because we saw that great army." And the pastor was by himself. And God let them see His protection. What does that happen with me? It already has, my friend. Or Satan would have killed us a long time ago. Because you see, Satan sees in the spiritual realm. And he sees this. He has no authority over the real me or the real you. He has no power over the spirit that Christ has given me. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and He is my Savior. That can never be taken away, because in order to do that, the world has to cross a boundary of God. And I got news for him. Wrong line in the sand to cross. That's the line God has drawn in your heart. And when God says don't cross it, the enemy better understand. Don't cross it. You're going to challenge God, really? When we can't even handle our own affairs of life? Really? And the world, through hatred and bitterness, they're afraid. You know what they're afraid of? Christian, you have a peace inside you that is greater than any understanding that the world can have. But you talk about love instead of power. And the world says it's through power. And God says, "I am that power. I am your father. I happen to be the child of a king." Whether they kill this body or whether God stops them, that's not my concern. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. So such a challenge is theirs, not mine. You and I stand strong, and we pray for one another, because all hell is already here. You see it. You hear it. And you know it. Power to break it will not be through the weapons of the world, but from the sword of Jesus Christ, which is His word, His truth, His light. Let me leave you with this thought. As many times that I've read Scripture in different ways to come to understand the battle that we talk about of Armageddon, as we say, the last great battle. Well, I won't even get into that, but during that battle, the Scripture says that the blood will be so deep it'll go up to the bridles of the horses. And you and I picture God's army, which is made up of us, of drawing the sword. Go read it again. For it is not the sword that you and I would have in our hands, but the sword is Christ on the horse, and the sword is the truth and His word coming from His mouth. and the physical body that has not accepted the truth of Christ will be cut asunder by the word of God, not by the power and the might of armies, by the word of God. Will Christianity survive in the United States of America? I'm one generation away from seeing the fall. If you do not teach your child about who Christ truly is, your child will not teach others who he is. You must and I must make certain it's the truth of God we stand for. Let him worry about the battle, because he has no worries. He already knows Jesus wins. He wins. He's already won. Now, I love this army. When you've been in combat and you know now and in the greatest battle that is being fought right now in history for the hearts and the minds of men, Jesus wins. Oh, what love he has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessing and the joy of salvation. We ask now, Father, that you give each of us the courage to take the stand in the area of life that you've told us to. Each of us, Father, we understand you have placed different boundaries. And those boundaries focus on the individual mission you've given each one of us. Help us to respect one another as your child. Help us, Father, that we pray for one another and for all the pastors throughout this nation, that the pastors will truly unite together and speak the truth and not cross a boundary that goes against you. Touch each heart now, Father. Call us to your service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.